Joel Archer.
I'm Henry Knorr. I'm a current member of the LSB, not running this time.
I'm Norman Carlin. I'm from Marin County.
Barbara Sykes, Marin County.
Corrine Kelly, Oakland.
Yeah, I'm Bob English. I'm a candidate. I work in San Francisco and live in Vallejo.
I'm Dave Heller, candidate. I live in Berkeley.
I'm Brian, listener sponsor in Berkeley.
Brian who?
Brian Shratzuki, listener sponsor from Berkeley.
What's a listener sponsor?
A listener sponsor is someone who paid at least $25 during the last 12 months prior to August 31st.
You're a listener sponsor. Okay. Yeah.
I'm a Suresh Sayadi. I'm a candidate for LSB. I live in San Ramon. He wants to be introduced to have his name.
I think his name is Hale or Dave.
He comes to most of the meetings.
Okay.
At LSB.
Okay.
Do you know his name?
Hal.
Hal?
It is Hal. He listens to all the fights on Saturdays.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us. Your name?
Antonio.
Hi, Antonio. Oh, you're waiting on me. I'm sorry. Okay, before we get started, I spoke over with Les, and he agrees. He says that he suggested he can't make a formal ruling because he's not the national election supervisor, but he did come to the agreement that since staff cannot vote for candidates, then this is for public access and for the public and listener sponsors to get a chance to get to know each candidate, that they will not be allowed to ask questions.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go to every table. So I'll time the first person. We have 2 minutes to answer each question. So I'll quickly go to that table and that table. You guys are going. So I'd like to open up the questions. We'll start with you.
Well, my main question is what you think might be done. I know this has been a long, long history. Might be done to bridge the divide between the board and the people at the station, management, programs, etc. What, given all that you know in the way of past history and looking forward, what might be done? What suggestions do you have to really positively try to bridge the gap?
Okay, well, the first thing we need to do is we need to get rid of the interim people and get, you know, an elected manager in there, and we need to get somebody who is going to recognize that our unpaid staff are the backbone of the station. You know, the way it is now, you know, when the interim general manager decides to de-recognize 90% of the staff, that's a huge problem. And we can't have it. We need to have somebody who's going to be fair and, you know, help our unpaid staff and, you know, facilitate them as best they can. They're, you know, people are giving their time, working for free, and they need to be facilitated and congratulated and patted on the back. They don't need to be told, we don't need to listen to you.
Yeah, but that doesn't answer my question.
When I was a council, elected council of unpaid staff, and I had with other collective, not myself, I always work with collective, 2 programs. And the inside fighting is always they want to keep their own program. They don't want change. And they took over our program. One of them is called Voices of the Middle East and North Africa. The people who are running it now, they were invited to participate. They collaborate with management as long as they could keep their program. And now those same people, one of them is here, the council member, crying fault when the management tells them, I'm going to cancel your organization. I fought while Roy Campanella was here. they will hire people for programming council. They elect them. They don't hire them. Elect them. And they work against the people they're representing. Like Bonnie Simmons is the unpaid staff representative. She's the one who was telling Roy Campanella, unpaid staff have to work 30 hours every 3 months to be unpaid staff. I said, people have lives. You know, why we are changing that? Why you want to? And then somebody like her holds the staff, unpaid staff, addresses and names, and gives it to her friends while there's election. And I was saying, I'm the council. You, the other four people at the council, we should have the names. You know, how we know some members are members, they were not put on a list. They were calling me up while we are, I tried to put those people on the list. They would not do it. We need to have people on programming council who don't have programs. Because what they do, they elect always. Even this recent one, they just had that. They don't have election very often. They don't go by the bylaw, which we have made. And they select people who are programming. So they scratch each other's back to keep each other's program and things, so they don't allow new voices to come in there and to have democratic way of things. I think those are the major problem. They always go with management, the people who are working.
Well, to bridge the gap, you simply have to follow the bylaws that were intended to overcome those divisions that had existed before. The bylaws set up a collaborative process where listeners are representative on the board, staff is represented on the board, and the board has shared powers and responsibilities with management to make governing decisions, policy decisions, and even the overall framework for programming. It's very specific in the bylaws, but the problem is, in order to bridge the gap and for there to be a collaborative process, you have to have two sides that want to come to the dance. What I unfortunately have to refer to is a kind of a power clique at the station. It's an informal power structure, and unfortunately some of them are the same people that were there when the hijackers were allowed to take over and transform our community radio station into something less than the radical progressive station that we'd like it to be. They're still there, senior staff at the station. The management, the only management that's acceptable is the interim managers that come from their ranks. Now, the managers, you notice, twice when we selected managers by the bylaw process, where the listeners had input to it through the representatives on the board, and the ED made his selection among that pool, both of those managers were harassed out of the station by the people who wouldn't accept any either management or any input from the local station board. So we have a real problem at the station bridging the gap. And it's made to look as if those of us who are, well, I'm not on the board, but those of us like Henry, for instance, and Richard and Stan, the people that are fighting to implement the bylaws and have that collaborative process, are made to look as if they're some kind of radical paranoids who are, you know, anti-staff and so forth. So you have to have people that are willing to join a mediative collaborative process. That's how you bridge the gap. But, you know, follow the bylaws.
My question is, what would your idea of a fair, collaborative, and reasonable, a fair, collaborative, and respectful procedure for making programming decisions would be?
As I said from before, we need to elect for unpaid staff, the unpaid staff who don't have their own programming, from the community, of course, the ones who don't have programming, so it wouldn't be biased. And I believe they should be going into the community, see what the community wants. They should take a vote what listeners want to hear, why they need those programs. And I think that's the best way to do it, because this is listener-sponsored radio. It's not our turf. It's not my station. It should be about the people out there, who we are trying to get to, what we need to do, education. I think that's the best way. And do not let management make decision. Like right for the past at least 5-6 years, management has been interfering with programming. And programming councils should not be banning people. That's not their decision making. They are not lawyers. They've been banning programmers, and that's, you know, they shouldn't be doing that. That's my opinion.
Yes, Dave Heller. You know, I think a lot of our communities have been ignored. Certainly the South Bay, San Jose area doesn't get enough coverage. The North Bay doesn't get enough coverage. And a lot of minority communities around the area would like to have airtime too. And this is all what I was talking about before. We need to have a democratic process. When the program council was told you only are an advisory committee now, that's like a fascist takeover, and we need more input into programming, not less. You know, it'd be great if we could put the folio up on the website, have listeners write in, like, I have this suggestion for a program, right? And then the program council can look at all these different ideas and make decisions based on that, you know? And that's how I would deal with it. The KBFA website needs to be revamped so that, you know, people can write in and give ideas and make it more of a democratic radio station. And when people feel like they own the station, then, you know, they're going to contribute more money, they're going to get more involved, and we're going to have broader listenership. We're going to get more money because we're going to have broader listenership, and we can do the things that we want to do. We can get better programming. We can have satellite news stations in San Jose and the North Bay, you know? So that's what we need to do.
Okay. The question was about what does the collaborative process look like for making program decisions, I believe. And by the way, I want to apologize for the last time. Sometimes when I answer some of these questions, I get a little excited and upset. Because what I see going on at the station is not at all what I fought for and worked for with thousands of other listeners across the network. This is not what we worked so hard to establish, the way it operates. But if you go to the bylaws that are set up, the collaborative process is supposed to look something like this. The board has certain responsibilities, not to make direct day-to-day program decisions, but they are supposed to see and assess whether or not the current programming is meeting the minimum needs of the communities that the station serves. And it's also supposed to determine and ensure that the other structures that are operating to make program decisions are operating with a level playing field in a fair manner. So the board can make certain policy decisions about what is the time, you know, what time should Democracy Now be broadcast at? Should it be broadcast when most listeners are on their way to work or not, and when they come home in the evening? That's one example where the board tried to become involved in a program decision, and that was not implemented. The other focal point for programming decisions besides the management is the program council. And what I want to see is a program council that has equal representation from the board and from the listeners with department heads, so that you have, and that is not an advisory body. It's been affirmed over and over that is the body that reviews programs, evaluates them, and makes decisions about new programs at the station. And so you have a balance where programs, time slots are filled through representatives on the program council, but then you have the management and the board having their separate responsibilities.
So we get another question.
I'm a retired worker, and I want to know what you are going to do to change the politics of the station regarding trying to represent the so-called minorities instead of trying to represent the majority of the people of the United States. Because what I see on the left is this tendency to try to sympathize with either criminals or murderers or gays and lesbians, or all these little groups of the fringe, but there is no politics for the majority of the people, including sympathizing with the illegal scabs who take the job from workers in the United States. And the people are running away from those politics. They are running away and don't want to listen to you. So are you gonna do something to try to change those politics and try to represent the interest of the big majority of the people in the United States, which is the working class?
Okay, well, you know, I think the majority of Americans are woefully misinformed, and KPFA is one of the few beacons of light around. And, you know, gays and lesbians are part of the majority of people. You know, they're you know, women's rights, all the I don't know exactly what you're talking about in terms of, like, the majority of people, but as a body, like, we have to embrace people with diverse backgrounds. And what we really need, what you're talking about, is more programming on workers' rights and unions and the history of all that, the struggles that we've gone through our history. And we need to inform people about that, because people right now are, you know, they're so busy working most of the time and just trying to get their job. You know, a lot of people have two jobs and stuff. And we need to break through that and get people working together as a battering ram against, you know, the evil stuff that not only the Bush administration but the Clinton administration has done for working class people. And so that's what I would say, is we need to improve the programming and news programming to reflect that.
Okay, there's many facets to answering that question. One of them is that the KPFA was founded by pacifists after World War II, but it's evolved to be, and so we're for peace and social justice, but it's evolved where, you're right, KPFA should be speaking to and representing the interests of the majority of people, working class and poor people who really need the information. And right now, I would defend the station. We speak to many different issues, including issues about the death penalty and, you know, whether capital punishment is right or not, and whether people that are in, that are there on death row, for instance, are actually guilty, or they're just victims of our criminal justice system. But KPFA, I can understand your question, because we have how much programming that speaks directly to the needs of working class people. We have maybe a half an hour once a week devoted specifically to that on the morning show. And as Soraya has pointed out here, when the labor collective at KPFA tries to go to the way the program council is right now and asks for additional labor programming, asks for 1 hour a week on labor issues, they haven't been able to get that through, nor have we had any special labor programming for a long time. Now, I'd like to think that eventually the issues that we believe in as progressives are going to be the politics. Our politics is going to be shared by the majority of the people in the country, because they realize the bankruptcy of the politics of the current two-party system. But in a way, KPFA is never going to be for everybody to listen to. But it should, you should be able to, every program you listen to on KPFA allows every segment of our society to speak out and be heard. But I agree with you that we need much more labor programming for working class people. And we do that by bringing in the people from those communities to present programs on the station that are important to the people in their communities.
I think I may know what you're talking about because I have struggled with the same issues. That's why I just finished this up. That's why I am speaking out in every university and every church, because I'm a Kurd. When the war happening against Iraq, I didn't want war in Iraq. But then the left people were holding up flags of Saddam, and they were saying Saddam was good. That's the thing I bring out to the left. I'm telling, and the same thing, I'm giving a talk about women's rights and stoning of women in Iraq and in Kurdistan and in Turkey. I'm saying to them, well, we need to speak out for those people too. So you just don't support Iranian government suppressing others. Do you know what I'm saying? I think that's what you are trying to say. That's why we need more of a programming where represents the voiceless, and having a labor programming where we bring people from the community to speak what they are doing. And that's what we were doing, and we were banned.
So that was David Heller, Bob English, and Soraya